Honored, delighted that you're here. And we get to move forward and carry on with the conversation. We've been discussing the idea of codependence to interdependence recently and the power person dynamic. And actually, what I've done the last couple of shows, I've heard from a few people saying, wow, this is really impactful. Well, the material that we've been talking about on the power person, we actually, in our last two codependence to interdependence communication practicum intensives online on Zoom, we developed a new power person worksheet for 25 years. It was a single page power person worksheet, which is still on the website. And in doing these two intensives back to back online led to creating what has become now a 14 page power person worksheet. And so that's what I've been talking about with the pseudo solutions and the goals, the things that people are looking to accomplish and such. So that's kind of what I'm drawing on for that. And if it's impacting you and if you're ready to do the next level of work, of course, this is just scratching the surface of what happens in that particular intensive, and we do have it available as a standalone self-study process that includes a pre and post personal code evaluation. And the personal code evaluation is an evaluation that we put together to help people to see where their blocks are. You know, when we live in blockage of truth, when our mind tells us a lie and we call the lie truth, then the mind has no room, has no space for truth. So we call that living in blockage of truth. And the minute that you tell yourself, you know, the most common, the first lie that virtually everybody learns to tell is, you made me. So when you step into the game of blame, you now know that you're in blockage of truth. So it's pretty much something that governs the whole world. And climbing out of that hole is quite an interesting task. It really does take some significant work. And so that intensive is designed to assist people in doing that work. And as I say, it is available. The MMPI is the basis of the personal code evaluation, and that's the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. It's considered to be the gold standard of psychological testing. And we've adapted it for use to give people feedback, so it's a shortened version that gives people feedback on exactly where the blocks are in their minds. It basically breaks one's personal code. And your personal code is a personal set of rules that your mind forces you to comply with in living your life. For instance, how many of you ever said, well, I'm never going to do that again? And then the next time the stress was up and the chips are down, you did exactly that again. That's because your personal code requires it of you. And until you change your personal code, that behavior doesn't change. And so the core of the codependence to interdependence communication is really about changing the personal code. So you get as part of that self-study intensive, you get a pre-evaluation. And then there are two videos that you'll receive that will give you step-by-step instructions for how to understand that your feedback and get the assignments that will be most useful to break through. You know, usually each time someone does a personal code, we give them three assignments to do out of the 10 areas that the personal code measures, the 10 scales that are included. And so there are two videos that explain the personal code and what the assignments are for each area that there are blockages in. And then there are approximately 90 hours of video work. The two intensives were done on Zoom, were combined. And so all of the teaching, all of the processing, all of the questions and answers, the still point breathing instruction or happening that took place live in the workshop, that's all included within the intensive. So it's a pretty deep study, as I say. Well, we've covered with all in what I think 2 days now, we've pretty much covered the first 5 pages of a 14 page PowerPerson worksheet, which is just one of the tools in that intensive. We do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So we cover the forgiveness tool. We do healing through relationships. So we get into the commitment tool. We do communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And we tap into the difference between projection communication, you made me mad, to responsibility communication. No, I'm realizing that what you said brought up anger in me. You know, I mean, the difference of night and day, and building the brain cells to really comprehend that difference. And so, as I say, this is just a scratch in the surface of one of the tools. And if you're ready to take your work really ready to go to the next level, the whole course, including the pre and post evaluation and ongoing support with the radio show. So as you're doing it, we're here for you to call in and ask questions. The cost of the whole program is $600. And of course, you can take whatever time period you wish to go through those 90 hours. It's totally and completely focused on a self-study. So that's kind of where we're coming from and where we're going. And if we look at the last few thoughts, we were talking about, you know, what some of the pseudo solutions are of the non-being mind, you know, people who use all kinds of avoidance mechanisms in order not to have to feel and deal with what they've dissociated from in their own minds. And so, you know, anything from the denial, dissociation, yelling, screaming, you know, avoiding, false pride, leaving, escaping, going numb, becoming self-absorbed, making excuses, unwilling to look within, you know, dish out your daily dose of disapproval in yourself or others, be unfair, unkind, OCD, puff up, rage, threaten. They're all the things. I mean, we've got a in the worksheet, there are a list of 75 different pseudo-solutions that people tend to use, with the idea of, you know, part of the assignment is to look at what of these things did you watch your power person do, and what happened for you as you did that. What of these things have you done? And then there's a key question in it, because what happens is everybody does the behavior of their power person, or spends a whole lot of energy and time resisting and struggling against doing those behaviors. However, there's a big difference between when your power person did it and when you do it. And I'm telling you that there is virtually no one in the world who avoids this trap. However, when the power person does it, the individual who's the object of that, usually the child in the situation, calls it one thing. Oh, they were so abusive when they talked to me like that. And then when they do it, they have a totally different label for it. Oh, yes, when I talked to him like that, I was just trying to be helpful and instructive. And so the mind can live in this game that it isn't replicating the power person dynamic. But, you know, the core truth is that until this power person dynamic is understood and resolved, virtually everyone in the world, and I don't care if you're looking at somebody who's the president of the largest corporation in the world, or this country or that country, or this country club or that country club, or is this successful business person, businesswoman, businessman, I don't care who you're looking at. They're being run by their power person. When the stress is up, you know, there are basically three behaviors possible until one recognizes and cleans up this power person dynamic in their mind. And as far as I know, until about 25 years ago, when I literally downloaded this workshop, it's a dynamic that's been absolutely unknown on planet Earth. Yet it runs every major corporation, every government, every church, every family system, every community. And the three behaviors that the automatic decision system kicks in and insists that you do. Again, remember, people say, well, I'll never do that again. And they don't until the next time this stresses up and the chips are done. Because when ultra stressed, everyone does what their power person did to them that they hated the most. Or, as I say, spends a great deal of time and energy resisting doing that. Jeannie and I did this workshop in Fort Lauderdale back, I don't know, 15, 17 years ago, something like that. And a gentleman who runs a 12-step program had invited us to present to his 12-step group. He had an extremely large online community that he had run for several decades, like kind of back from the early days of the internet. And he'd been in AA for about 30 years, in recovery, hadn't touched alcohol in 33 decades. And when I explained the behaviors, he very vehemently resisted and said, no, that's not true, because as a kid, I was severely beaten by my father just about every day of my childhood. And I have a son, and I have never hit my son. And he kind of came on sort of strong, like, that's not true. And he went from that posture of rigid and, objecting and strong about it to where I think I could have bowled him over with a feather when I then asked the question, and how much time do you still spend trying to control your fists? It's like, that's like the major project of my life, to keep from hitting somebody. So, yes, you had the willpower to resist doing the behavior that your power person did that you hated the most. And it's still running in your mind 30 years after you got sober. So this is something that virtually everyone needs to resolve. One of the ways they avoid dealing with the power person dynamic is they just rename it. They do the behavior, but they rename it. It's something different for them. So the next step in the process of healing through relationships and with the understanding of codependence is to allow yourself to become conscious of each thought disorder that's based on the power person messages you received, or it may be messages that you made up about yourself or others. So the self message might be, there's something wrong with me, I'm broken. The message that comes from the power person is, you're broken, there's something wrong with you. It might be a thought like with others, oh, other people are incapable of functioning as love. People rip me off. And when I own and forgive as to those errant thoughts, those thought disorders at the root of any pain-based perceptions, the pain-based pictures in my mind over time unwind. Get to unwind all the energetic dynamics behind it and remove that all that pain from my life. But you don't do that if you don't ever allow yourself to become conscious of and forgive as to those thought disorders. And oftentimes, people tell themselves stories about the power person to convince themselves that the message received from the power person was true. So, if someone got the message from the power person that they were broken, then the story they might tell themselves about their power person is, well, my mom, my dad was so smart, they must have been right about me. Or my power person is so powerful, they're better than me. So that might be the kind of story that somebody tells themselves about the power person themselves. And as you become aware of those stories, you recognize that they're unconscious. Then allowing them to come to conscious awareness is what initiates the cleanup process. And of course, there's also telling oneself the stories about oneself. to convince oneself that the power person message I either received or I made up was true. So, you know, you'll hear people, I mean, I can't fathom when I started to become conscious of language, regulatory speech, can't tell you how often I've heard people say, I'm so stupid, or I deserve to suffer. I am really a bad person. I deserve to, whatever I get. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. And it's interesting because oftentimes, especially with that stupid message, I'll say to somebody, you're not, and they'll go, I'm not what? And the fact that the words, I'm stupid, came out of their mouths was totally and completely unconscious. They had no idea that they affirmed that idea about themselves. So it becomes really key and really important to start to dismantle those dynamics. When one is under the spell of the power person dynamic, they tend to insist that their perceptual construct about themselves or about their children or about their parents, whoever it is they have conflict with, they insist that their perception must be true. It's fact about what's happening out there rather than a reflection of what's happening inside and being projected. So remember that when one goes into denial and the easing into denial, it's one of the first things that virtually every one of us learned as kids. And that was to blame someone else. You know, you've heard me say it before, by the age of 4, virtually every person on planet Earth is and it has become a card-carrying member of the one world religion, universal religion of blame. It's everybody else's fault. So when I step into an alternative universe, i.e. I honor the truth and really look at the facts, you know, is my mind's construct provable? Is the conclusion I've generated with my mind really true? And then start to ask yourself, what in the actuality of the situation, if I allow it in, would support me in healing the underlying thought disorders? So when I start to tell myself the truth, the person who I said never supported me, all of a sudden, I realize that's a construct in my mind, and I really tap into the facts, and my goodness, they've been there to support me totally. So start to look at painful relationships, relationships you call painful in your life or disturbing, upsetting, or what have you. And ask yourself, what has that shown you repeatedly? So it might be things like, well, this is an adversarial relationship. I need to escape. And then it can be helpful to start to look at alternative possible realities, like I'm experiencing a very old pain pattern here. Perhaps this is my opportunity to forgive my part in this. So start retraining the mind to move in different directions rather than living out of that codependent dynamic. And of course, when one does that, it's a mega life changer. And whenever I do a behavior, that behavior is always a form of communication. You know, there's a component in the intensive that's called communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And so the next invitation in this worksheet, page 7 out of 14 pages now, is recognizing that all behavior is a form of communication, and what is it that I'm trying to communicate with the behaviors that I've been using, that long list that I shared the other day. So the question you might ask yourself might be something like, you know, one of the pseudo solutions that that we offered in that list was using the voice. So an example might be, so if I use the voice, what's the underlying message in the tone that I use? And the hint to what that message is might be, what message did I get from my power person when they did that behavior? So my power, if I use the voice on people, I use the breath on people, you know, what's really going on when I go, brother? What's the underlying message? And what's the goal that I have for that behavior? So my goal in using a particular behavior might be to get them to shut up so that I don't have to deal with my hurt. You know, if what their words are conveying are resonating hurt for me, if I can get them to shut up, I don't have to deal with my hurt. And then, you know, the hurt might be about not being safe. And so, well, the underlying motivation behind using something like an abusive voice tone can be I want to feel safe. So you can start doing, you know, a series of just writing statements that start out with, my goal in using this behavior was to, you know, get that person to shut up so that I wouldn't have to deal with my hurt and I can feel safe. So just that simple statement to start to look at what the underlying motivation is with particular behaviors, especially behaviors that you find people resisting when you do them. So just doing a series of statements, you know, journaling. My goal in using that particular behavior, you know, and pick any behavior that people don't like you doing, or maybe you don't like yourself when you do it. What was the goal? And what were you trying to achieve for yourself? Can be really powerful. And then starting to look at the emotions that surface in you. You know, way back in the original steps of the worksheet, we named a power person. This is, you know, designed ultimately to be used on a single situation with an individual, much like the reality management worksheets designed to work with a particular object of attention. So to really own and look at the emotions that surface. And what played out with this power person dynamic with me, and are those emotions similar to this event? So if I'm doing a worksheet on something that happened to me today, and I'm looking back to see how that played out in interaction with my original power person. And as you allow yourself to become conscious, this is part of the way that you resolve, aside from the forgiveness process, it's part of the way that you resolve that power person dynamic so that you're not run by it. As I say, the world is run by it until one understands and starts to work through it. Of course, identifying, you know, when you start looking at those emotions, identifying the emotion and then really sitting with and contemplating what's the thought behind that emotion, allowing yourself to become fully conscious of it and be aware of where you're feeling it in your physiology. This is all part of becoming, you know, you've heard us say, the become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feeling, the actor apart from the actions. And that can be very powerful in being able to observe what your mind is doing and not be lost in what your mind is doing. oftentimes people get stuck because of unresolved power person dynamics in control, in avoidance, distraction, deflection, blame. So work to identify any fear or hostility-based messages that you've given to others or self in order to achieve that goal. Of and identifying whether it's control or avoidance, distraction, deflection. And that might look like I force or threaten people into being silent. Don't make me look at that. I'll leave if you ever make me look at that or deal with that. Dynamics when you start looking at them are major life changers when you start undoing them. And oftentimes, you know, the very message that we just spoke about, those fear and hostility based messages that have been that you give to others are nothing but a replica. Again, it's behavior based in the power person dynamic. So looking at a time when your power person conveyed those messages to you, and how it felt for you, what came up in you in the way of feelings, can be another big key to resolving these dynamics. Looking at making a list of what you perceived your power person's needs to be. And remember that the power person is a person who had more power over your life at some point than you did, was not functioning as love. The kicker that puts them into, that puts that power person dynamic into your mind, installs it into your mind, is as those two things are happening, you perceive the situation as survival. And once you make a list of what you perceived your power person's needs to be, then make a corresponding list of what did my power person do to get those needs met? And were their behaviors just and fair? If they were not just and fair, notice that under stress, you're probably not just and fair. Because again, under stress, virtually everyone does whatever their power person did to them that they hated the most. And so just correlating that information can be very powerful in getting into deeper and deeper layers of your own unconscious mind. As you make a list of your power person's needs, have you ever exhibited similar needs? Then once again, make a list. And as you start to look at all these, what seem to be separate pieces of information, deeper and deeper clarity come to how it is that we create out of this power person dynamic. And that's where its resolution begins.